This is part B of Did Jesus Abolish the Law? Since we're here in the book of Psalms, let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And let's pick it up here in verse 27. 37:27. And we'll see here's why you need the laws and commandments of God. Verse 27. Depart from evil. How are you going to know what's right and wrong, good and evil, unless you know the laws of God? And do good. And dwell forever, because there's the promise of eternal life. The Lord loved judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and shall dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. Why? Verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Now let's come to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. See, so it's not, we'll see, it's not just the New Testament talks about the laws in our heart, but also the Old Testament. His law is in his heart. Now you see, the way God wants us to live is this way. He wants us to have his laws written in our hearts and in our minds, which then gives us right and wrong, good and evil. We know what is good and right. Okay? But also, it gives us conscience. And then we are able to govern our own lives by his laws and commandments. Now, if the Ten Commandments were taught in the school, and that's why they had to get them out of the schools, there would be less crime, there would be less illegal sex, there would be less stealing, less murder, and the whole thing. You go back, and if someone could do this, go back and check when the Scopes trial took place, and he started to get rid of God at that place, how did crime escalate? I imagine you could have a curve going like this, and then when you come to the days of the hippies, it shoots straight up. And now we have it everywhere. People want to know, why is there so much crime? Why are all these things going on? Because no one has the laws of God in their hearts and their minds to direct their steps, to give them conscience, so they know what is right and what is wrong. Now, Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Here's what God said he was going to do. He's going to do with Israel in the future. But also it began with the beginning of the new covenant on the day of Pentecost there in Acts, the second chapter. For this is the covenant that I will establish with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their minds. Now that's far from abolishing it, isn't it? Yes. And I will inscribe them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let's see it over here, Hebrews 10 and verse 16. Hebrews 10 and verse 16. This is a covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them in their minds. And that goes right back to Jeremiah 31:31, and it goes right back to Psalm 37 and verse 31. Now, let's see some other things concerning the Word of God. Let's first of all come to 1 John. First John. Now, First John is really a fantastic book because it upholds the laws and commandments of God on a continuous, ongoing basis spiritually. So, those who say that they know Christ and know God and yet claim that the laws have been done away or abolished. Here's the category they fall into. Verse 3. By this standard we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. First John 2, verses 3 and 4. What are we to have? We are to have truth in the inward parts, right? Have truth in our minds. We are to speak the truth. Now, let's come here to verse 21. Let's see something else. Verse 21. I do not write you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and you understand that not one lie comes from the truth. So how is it then? The Word of God is truth. Ministers stand up and say the Word of God is the laws of God and commandments of God have been done away, which is a lie. How can they make the Scriptures speak a lie when the Scriptures are true? By leaving out part of it. Very simple. If you say this is done away, then whatever you speak then has to be geared in light of what you claim. But if you have all the Word of God, all the truth of God, not one lie comes from the truth. Where do lies come from? You see, and religious liars are the worst kind. False prophets are the worst kind. Well, the liar is Satan the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. The truth is not in him, and he didn't abide in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And he's the one who inspires false prophets. All right? Let's go on a little further and then we'll look at some false prophets. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John 4. Since God gives us the Holy Spirit and He gives us His truth, this is how He desires us to worship Him. And you can only worship God in spirit and in truth if you have all the truth. All right? John 4. And let's pick it up here in verse 23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers. Now that is interesting, isn't it? That is, those who worship God in truth. Those are the true worshipers. If anyone worships God with a falsehood, he's a false worshiper. If anyone preaches the truth of God, then he's a true minister of God, or at least representing the Word of God properly, minimum. If someone is not doing it, he's a liar. Okay? So we must come to God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now notice what else he says. For the Father is indeed seeking those who worship Him in this manner. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let's look at Jesus' statement, Matthew the 5th chapter, that he did not abolish the law or the prophets. You all know where that is. Matthew 5 and verse 17. But let's go there anyway. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Do not think, let alone preach and teach, that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And to fulfill means to fill to the full. Now, we have in the New Testament and also in the coming Bible, how did Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? He did so by bringing everything to a higher spiritual standard. That's how he did it. We said, you've heard it old time and past, you know, you shall love your friends and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies. You've heard it old time that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, do not look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, because you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. He also said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. All right, let's go on. Let's come to Jeremiah 23. Let's see the earmarks. And there are 16 earmarks of false prophets. Jeremiah 23, quite a chapter. So let's go there. Jeremiah 23. And verse 1. We'll spend a little bit of time here so we can analyze it. What I want to do is then, from this, we will pick out the 16 things which will give you 16 things to analyze what any preacher says. See, we're to be armed with the truth. We are to be able to judge between right and wrong, truth and error, good and evil. Well, let's pick it up here. Verse 1, Jeremiah 23. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Now, this applies to modern-day Israel today, directly. You have scattered my flock, driven them away. Also applies to the church of God directly too, doesn't it? Because we are going to see every tactic that was brought into the church of God to undermine it is described in Jeremiah 23. And have not visited them, behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. So know for sure the judgment of God will come. But what does God always do even for the wicked? He gives them a space of repentance, correct? Yes. Then he takes care of them. I will scatter the remnant of my flock out of all, I will gather rather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now let's come down here to verse 9. Here's how Jeremiah felt about it. Verse 9. This is what he experienced. Now remember, Jeremiah was a priest of God. Jeremiah was called probably at 16 or 18 years old to warn the house of Judah and Israel, but mostly the house of Judah, that God was going to send them off into captivity. And if you want to read a book that's a hard one to read, read all of the book of Jeremiah. And then ask yourself, do I really want to be a prophet of God and go through what he went through, see? Or Ezekiel's even worse. Okay, now verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. That describe the land today? Yes. Because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. And in Southern California are burned up. And their course is evil and their force is not right. These are going to be some strong words. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. And you think about all of the ministers that have been caught with adultery, homosexuality, all of those who consider themselves in the Catholic Church to be Christian, and the priests are supposed to represent God. And how many homosexuals and pedophiles be therein? I've seen it in my own house. Because, you see, what the Jews did to the temple of God, they turned it into a brothel. Verse 12. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall. And I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, says the Lord. I've seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. That's talking about latter-day Israel as well as former-day Israel. They prophesied to Baal. Now, who is Baal? The sun god. What is his day of worship? Sunday. And cause my people Israel to err. When you tell people that the law is done away, they're going to err. You tell them, well, you don't have to read the Old Testament, it's all fulfilled. Absolute lie. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers. And none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and as the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. What an indictment. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and will make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth unto all the land, everywhere. Called today secularization. Okay? Thus says the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's why when we started out and we read, what did Paul tell Timothy to do? Preach the word. Okay? Not their own thoughts, not their own dreams. We'll talk about dreams here in just a little bit. Says, they make you vain, they speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say, everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You have grace. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Where's the Bible Belt? You ever heard of tornadoes? Is that not a whirlwind? Where do most of them occur? In the Bible Belt, right? Huh. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed and till he has performed the thoughts of his heart. Now notice this sentence, verse 20. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. In other words, you'll understand it perfectly. In the latter days. He says, verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, which they don't, and had caused my people to hear my words, which they very few do, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doing. Has any minister yet turned back the hand of abortion? No. No. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Yes, with everything he's created and all his power. I heard what the prophets say that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed a dream. I have dreamed. How long shall this thing be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every one his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. You've probably seen them on television. The Lord spoke to me. Oh, really? How did he do that? Now notice what God says here. Verse 28. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That is according to the way that God intended it to be spoken. See? Faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? And what does it do to chaff? Poof! It's gone. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words. See, they take part of God's words. That's stealing. They misapply them. That steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, says the Lord, that use their own tongues and say, he says, when he didn't say. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them, and caused my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, for I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all. Now let's summarize these points to identify false prophets. Number one, adulteries. You can go back and look at the verses. Number two, profane. Number three, walk in lies and strengthen the hand of evildoers. Number four, spread profaneness in the land. Number five, make people vain. Number six, despise God. Number seven, God didn't send them. Number eight, lies in God's name. Number nine, preach lies from the deceit of their own heart. Number 10, cause people to forget the name of God. Number 11, God is against them. Number 12, cause people to err by their lies. Number 13, pervert the word of God. So they're not 16, they're 13. Now those are things you can use to judge who's telling the truth. Now let's look at some things that we need to understand concerning the word of God. Let's come back to the book of Matthew again. No, let's go to the book of Mark. Mark 13 and verse 31. So remember this, when anyone says, the commandments of God have been abolished. Jesus said, I did not abolish it. God says in Isaiah 43:24, he says, I will not abolish my righteousness. All right. Mark 13. How sure are the words of God? Now, we know that Jesus said this concerning the prophecies that he gave. But this also applies to every word that Jesus spoke. So here's how we can know that the words are true and will not pass away. Mark 13 and verse 31. The heaven, the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Be interesting, wouldn't it? Someone says, well, don't you know that God did away with that? Oh, really? Jesus said his words will stand as long as there is heaven and earth. What are you standing on? Look up. What do you see? Is it the earth? Is it the heavens? Does it still apply? Yes, indeed. That's something, isn't it? Yes. Now, here's what else they do that they don't realize. Come to James, the fourth chapter. James 4. Now, this becomes very important to understand that Jesus was Lord God of the Old Testament before he became Jesus Christ of the New. And that he was the one who gave the law to Moses. He was the one who walked and talked with Adam and Eve and all of the patriarchs of old. He is the one who inspired all the prophets. He is the one who came and taught all the disciples. Now, James 4 and verse 12. Oh, let's go back to verse 11. Brethren, do not talk against one another. The one who talks against a brother and judges his brother is speaking against the law and is judging the law. Now, the part I want to get to here is judging the law. Because if people say it's done away, then are they not judging the law? And they are judging God. And if they try and make the law to go away, they're asking God to get rid of himself and his existence. Now notice what category it puts you in. But if you judge the law, what does that make you then? That puts you in the seat of God, doesn't it, if you judge the law? But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. Rather, you are a judge, but there is only one lawgiver and that is God, who has the power to save and to destroy. Now let's come to one of my favorite parts here in the book of Job. Come back here to Job 40. Now, Job, he accused God of many things. And he held to his own righteousness rather than ascribing it to God. And he said many things against God which were not true in his haste to try and justify himself. Now, his friends also didn't understand a lot of things except Elihu. And Job said, oh, I just wish that there were an umpire between me and God. Let someone referee it. Then later he said, oh, if God would talk to me. Be careful what you ask. So God did. Job 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? Is that not what people do when they say that the law is done away? Are they not contending against God? Yes, indeed. Shall he reprove God? He that reproves God, let him answer it. Well, Job didn't have too much to say at that point. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth once I've spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Now here's God's answer to everyone who judges him and says the law is done away. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you declare to me, will you disannul my judgment? Or his law? Will you nullify it? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? And isn't that what they do? They condemn the laws and commandments of God that they may be more righteous by saying, we have grace, but you can't have grace unless you have law. An impossibility. So he says, okay, Job, I tell you what. You try this on for size. Do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like him? Come on, Job. Let's see. Deck yourself now with majesty and excellency. In other words, Job, glorify yourself. And array yourself with glory and beauty. And he says, furthermore, let's see how powerful you are. Cast abroad the rage of your wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto you that your own righteousness can save you. Pretty strict standards, aren't they? See, in other words, impossible. So remember this. Whenever anyone says the laws of God have been abolished, God says, I will not abolish my righteousness. My commandments are truth. My law is truth. My word is truth. I am truth and righteousness altogether. So if you ask me to do away with the law, you're asking me to do away with myself and my character. And that will never happen. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org.